Hi, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Simon Miller. I grew up here at LMC, then went to Minnesota for 4 years to attend St. Olaf College. And then after graduating, I spent 10 months in Mexico City with a volunteer program. Today, I'm here to talk a bit about my experience in Mexico City. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, or the ELCA, runs a program called the YAGM program. That's YAGM, which stands for Young Adults in Global Mission. Its objective is to help young adults ages 23 through 28 build a relationship with the community abroad by living in the community, often with host families, and volunteering at a nonprofit or Lutheran church-related organization over a period of 10 months. A central focus of the program is an idea called accompaniment, which calls us to practice solidarity in our relationships with others and do it consistently over an extended period of time. Practicing solidarity encompasses being conscious of the diversity of people's experiences, ideas, worldviews, conceptions of history, and claims to truth and meaning, and centering those ideas of others as you form a relationship with them. The goal of the YAGM program is that in the long term, a relationship based in solidarity leads to the recognition of your own preconceived notions or biases, and in turn, allows for deeper connections and more meaningful intercultural learning. Internalizing new perspectives, participants in the program can come away with a greater understanding of our world, justice, faith, culture, and how to ethically exist in and hopefully change a world that's rife with inequalities. In Mexico, I experienced that deep connection in relationship with my host family, pictured here with my real family who visited in April. My family was unique, two aunts who have cared for and lived with their two nephews for the last 5 years or so. This living arrangement came about after my aunt's brother, who was the father of the two nephews, passed away along with his wife, their mother, within a few short years of each other. The nephews, who I called my host brothers, decided to move in with their aunts, who are both unmarried and all live together. Another vital member of the family is Wilson, a one-year-old dog they got exactly 1 month before I arrived. I mean, how lucky was that? I actually want to take a second here, take advantage of this time to show you a few of Wilson's iterations because he's kind of small in this photo. We have this one where he's a fluffy ball of fur, basically. This other one where he's also a fluffy ball of fur, but he has a jacket on. And this is the transformation that would occur when he'd get a haircut. And this is just another one because basically I love my dog Wilson, so just wanted to show him off. He's pretty cute. A middle-class family, they live in a house on the outskirts of Mexico City in a neighborhood called El Olivo, which means olive tree. Their house built into the side of a large ravine with dozens of other houses. And here's an especially nice picture that I felt that I captured, a nice sunset. My family and I connected over shared interests, such as cooking, sports, and travel. My older brother, Josue, loves to cook, and under his tutelage, we made chilaquiles, which are sort of, tortilla chips with salsa on top, and it's super good. Empanadas, chiles en nogada, pozole, which is a type of soup, tamales, lasagna, ravioli, fruit pies, Mediterranean wraps, stir fries, and much more. He diligently planned family adventures and trips and surprised me with new shoes at Christmas to replace the old ones I was tearing up on the concrete courts playing soccer. My younger brother, Moises, loves sports and mainly soccer, so he quickly involved me in pickup games at local courts and in competitive leagues with his friends, who embraced me with the kindness and respect just like he did. We also played video games together, watched TV shows and movies, and he read me the stories he likes to write in his free time. With my aunts, Tia Vicky and Tia Lidia, we had long conversations over lunch about our lives and family histories. They shared with me the grief they felt at the passing of their nephew's mother and father, their commitment to loving them as sons, and even the inner doubts they face about what their role in the brothers' lives will and should be with them being their aunts and not their parents. They want to give the boys their rightful space and autonomy, but it's hard when they care about them so much. My family was loving, patient, strong, and resilient, and I found incredible fulfillment in their company. They enriched my life and caused me to form deep connections I wasn't sure I could form. Another source of meaningful relationships was volunteering at SEAPAS, a nonprofit migrant accommodation center. SEAPAS, in English, stands for Meeting House for Humanitarian Accompaniment and the Construction of Peace. Supervised by four team members, Miguel Angel, Cristina, Paola, and Lalo, the center provides housing for between 20 and 40 residents at a time, who stay for an average of 3 weeks to a few months before settling in Mexico City or traveling to the U.S.-Mexico border after receiving approval to enter the U.S. on grounds of asylum. SEAPAS's mission is to affirm the dignity and humanity of migrants and the migration experience. Each family or individual who stays there receives their own private room and bathroom, a modest supply of food each week, ability to cook for themselves, access to psychological, dental, and healthcare services at a local hospital, and assistance finding employment. In addition, the center and its parent organization coordinate activities that create social and vocational opportunities for the population. They host bread baking and sewing classes, intercultural festivals, craft and movie days, outings to parks and plays, even visits from clown troops and skateboarding instructors, such as this event that I captured. These events help residents learn a skill, interact with others, and create a network of support and community in a new country and city. By arranging opportunities for the fulfillment of the physical, social, emotional, psychological, and intellectual needs of residents, their humanity is acknowledged and affirmed in the important transitionary period that is a migratory experience. SEAPAS believes their center is a replicable endeavor which will allow for migration to become a more and more normal and less perilous, uncomfortable, and stigmatized of an experience. I saw the impact of SEAPAS's community in the relationships that the residents, my colleagues, and I cultivated with each other, in the friendships between adults and children, and their excitement in contributing to the outings and activities, in those who received care, such as an Afghani man with severe knee pain due to the journey from Brazil all the way to Mexico, who I translated for in a doctor's appointment and connected with in hearing his story. In a Venezuelan chef experiencing mental health struggles while trying to decide whether to move back home or stay in Mexico, who recaptured his vigor and built connections by cooking with other residents and for the intercultural events SEAPAS hosted. He's pictured there in the center. We developed a friendship, and he even came to my host family's house the last week of my service term to help me prepare a meal of gratitude for them and their hospitality, with my brother on the left there, or on the right there. As threats to migrants in our national and international context stay constant, SEAPAS attempts to preserve a community that supports the well-being of migrants and the viability of migration. One way to preserve is to expand and strengthen. And SEAPAS does that by opening their doors to receive volunteers like me and educate them on the beauty, strength, and necessity of the community and its members. My conversations with SEAPAS residents and staff made me come to terms with the impossible decisions, unfathomable hardships, and dangerous situations that migrants have to face in exchange for the mere hope of reaching their destination, as well as their composure, strength, intellect, and perseverance. Internalizing these new perspectives and forming relationships across cultural and geographical differences is vital for developing intercultural empathy, something which I feel I gained over my time in Mexico. It also continually led to the realization of the immense complexity of life. Springing from those realizations, questions which I felt I couldn't answer. For example, I didn't come back to the US with incredible insights about how to combat the fierce disagreements we face on the subject of migration, or how to make the immigration system work more efficiently. But all I can hope is that the relationships I formed can be a significant step for me towards treating people with more compassion, consideration, and justice. And if I'm lucky, maybe it can represent a small step in the grand scheme of things towards a world where we are open to find belonging, love, and meaning in places we don't expect, and where we can care for one another across traditional boundaries. Thank you all so much for supporting my learning this past year, as well as an organization such as CEAPAS. I'm so grateful and hope you will want to continue to support learning experiences such as these for future generations. Thank you.